get the old chimney sweeper. Make sure the chimney is clear. Time to get humming. Santa is coming. I love this time of the year.
Welcome to Molly and Pete Save Christmas. I'm Pete.
I'm Molly.
Welcome to episode number 3
of this season.
Of the new season.
Is this season 3 or 4?
Maybe 4 of Christmas.
Yeah.
And then we had a mid-season thing where we just talk about other stuff.
Which apparently that people don't like us talking about Christmas movies. They only want us to talk about other stuff.
We don't have a lot of other stuff.
I mean, the whole point of this podcast is Christmas movies, not our dumb other stuff. And then now, like, we're trying to figure out what the other stuff is, and everything's Christmas related.
Well, let's see. Thanksgiving. We did Thanksgiving. That's not Christmas related.
Yeah.
I even got you to watch Shibboleth.
We just watched... You can just watch 10 minutes of it and hit all the highlights of Shibboleth.
It's on... Was it on Netflix or Hulu? But wherever it was, when I logged into Netflix or Hulu or whatever to watch The West Wing, it started right where I left off last year.
Which is like the best, which is all we watched. And it was like in like 5 minutes, it had everything.
This is Thanksgiving night after we had watched a couple of other things.
Yeah.
So it was late.
We watched Bob Newhart and we watched Felicity.
Yeah, I think it was after we watched the Thanksgiving episode of Felicity, which is really good, from the first season. I think you were rewarding me. You said if you stay awake for Felicity, I will watch you. We were originally going to watch How I Met Your Mother,
the Slapsgiving,
and I stayed awake.
I'd be willing to watch it.
I stayed awake, and you're like, okay, let's watch How I Met Your Mother. But it was difficult to find.
We could only find like later seasons available, and so I was like, okay, well, every year they have one, and you felt they were inferior.
Yeah, the one that we watched a little bit of, I didn't like. So then I just kind of snuck in Shibboleth on you.
But just 10 minutes.
And we watch a little bit of it.
You're like laughing out loud at the jokes.
Well, the if you haven't seen the episode.
Like, this is great.
there's really funny stuff with CJ and the pardoning of the turkey.
Obviously, these people don't live at our house if they haven't seen it. The problem is that what I've said is that I don't mind any of these shows. I mean, I don't like Friends and I don't like How I Met Your Mother, but I don't mind like the Thanksgiving episodes. It's not like the first time I've watched these, I thought they were great. And now that you're making me watch them for the 15th time or the 20th time, I just can't anymore. I just can't. It's too much.
I watched a couple of the Friends ones and I still laughed out loud. At the one with Brad Pitt, the one where Ross got high, I still laughed at them.
On 4th of July, or like this summer when fireworks were so bad, and like on 4th of July, the only thing that we could find that was more annoying than the fireworks to drone it out was like the Friends marathons that come on like Nick at night. So we would like put those on really loud. It was like the only thing that was worse than fireworks that could drone it out.
So in the Shibboleth episode, I can't remember exactly what happened, but CJ, she wasn't around like the previous Thanksgiving, so she was unaware that she had to pardon. She was in charge of pardoning the turkeys or making the arrangements for the pardoning of the turkeys. There's like 2 turkeys in her office during the episode. It's great comedy. And then she decides that she wants to keep them both, but the guy from the turkey farm wants to take one back. So then she has to go ask the president to pardon another turkey, and he gets mad that he really can't pardon a turkey because the turkey didn't break any laws. And I was laughing, and then the part comes up where
and I can like say all of this verbatim, like before the scene. I can recite the scene verbatim.
Yeah, you do a pretty good impression. And then my favorite part was when all episode long the president sends Charlie to find the perfect carving knife, and then, you know, Charlie is fed up with the president making him go on all these errands because the president he's not satisfied with any of the knives that Charlie brings back. And then finally Charlie brings in one, and this is when you said,
I hate this so much. It's just like prime example of the patriarchy. Like that, the knife came from the biggest eye roll you can make from. It says, "What are these initials? PR." Oh, this is like Paul Revere gave this to his great 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 grandfather, whatever. So, like these white men from New Hampshire have stayed in power the whole time, and then that he has to give because he's passing his Paul Revere knife onto Charlie, so he needs a new knife. Is the point of it, and that he can't. He has three daughters. He can't give the knife to his daughters.
No, he's going to give it to Charlie.
Gross. Like this show pretends to be so progressive.
It's funny. Well, I mean, I guess you're right because you do remember all this because at some point you left the room. This is 11 o'clock at night. You got out of bed and
I can't be part. I can't be witness to this.
I don't know where you went, but you had left the room while I watched the president give. PR. I don't recognize this. I don't recognize this maker. That's because this was given to me by a Boston silversmith named Paul Revere.
Gross. But we did talk about when he, the kindness that he shows to people. It's laughable to think of our current president showing kindness to people or thinking about other people. So when I watch again, I'll say I like West Wing. I just don't need to watch this Shibboleth episode for the 100th time. I'd rather just watch a random other one. I mean, no, it's not Thanksgiving. But I like that show. These and then the one that you make me watch at Christmas, where it's the coat and the funeral.
Yeah,
like
that's
no,
coming up.
I can't with that, and I can't with the Dickensian clashing. The Dickensian costumes clash with the Santa hats. I can't with that.
Sammy Sosa gets a mention. That's worth it. This is worth it just for the Sammy Sosa mention.
And when they go book shopping, and Josh buys an old skiing book for Donna. No.
It's so good.
No more.
And Mrs. Landingham is, down in the dumps.
Her son's died. See, we don't need to watch it.
The president is allergic to eggnog. There's a lot of good stuff in that episode.
Pass.
It was queued up to right where we left off last year. It turns out it was enough to just watch the 10 minutes, the pardoning of the turkey and the giving of the passing down. And it was really a bummer when you said that, he has daughters. This is the definition of patriarchy as you rolled back in from I don't know where you disappeared to from while I watched it.
It's true.
It is true. You bummed me out. It is true.
I don't need 2020 to teach me that. That was gross then.
So that's not Christmas. We've done a lot of non-Christmas things.
I did a bunch of Thanksgiving Peloton things.
What's Thanksgiving about a Peloton thing?
They had Thanksgiving rides and runs and stuff all week.
But what's Thanksgiving about it?
Well, one of the runs I did was the instructor said that he every Thanksgiving he's from Atlanta and he usually does the Atlanta Half Marathon. So he took you through that race. And then the rides are, it's about burning off your... your Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
I think is part of it, but just also being taught, the instructors talk about being grateful or thankful for things.
That's nice.
They also do a lot of good Peloton manipulation by saying a lot of people have given up this year, but not Peloton. We're still in this.
I know you got your dad addicted to Peloton now.
It's easy. Peloton does it itself. You just give him a taste, and then they keep coming back for more. And then all you want to do is talk about it. When we went, we went to my parents' backyard. My parents live here, so we didn't have to travel. So we could be outside and go to their backyard and wear masks and keep distance and see them on Thanksgiving. And we recreated the turkey trot we usually do.
Mm-hmm. It was fun.
In Evanston. And that was fun because there were other people out. You get a hat from this turkey trot every year. So the other people wearing that hat. There were people dressed up in costume. Mm-hmm. There were families. People were playing music. It was spirited.
Yeah.
So to kind of have, the weather was nice. So to be able to have something that you could do safely outside is a gift. So we did that. Though we all had to avoid, there were roving groups of college kids that I guess didn't go home.
Mm-hmm.
But, dirty clumps of kids walking around.
Yeah.
Because we were near the Northwestern campus. So we had to avoid them. But other than that, it was nice.
Yeah, it was enjoyable.
So we got to do that. And yeah, we got to see my parents on Thanksgiving, and my dad was like excited to talk to me at Peloton. And then like when my brother and sister-in-law showed up to say hi, he wanted to like talk to them about me. Mentioned, I was like, I heard him bring up Peloton. I was like, yep, he's one of us now. They had no interest.
He's one of us.
If you do Peloton, everybody's gonna know that you, it's like Bennett on The Bachelorette, we know he went to Harvard, we got it. You do Peloton, we got it.
Yeah, it is a cult.
Yeah, there's a lot of cults right now. It's a healthy cult to be in.
If this was a TV show, you'd be watching it.
It's not QAnon. It's not Nexium. It's a healthy cult to be in.
I love Thanksgiving. And I know like people have been saying that, you know, Thanksgiving is just another day. Stay inside. You know, don't gather in huge groups. It's just another day. You'll have it next year. And I say Thanksgiving is not just another day. Thanksgiving is special, but still, skip it. Don't yeah. discount that Thanksgiving is special.
Yeah.
But just still skip it.
Yeah.
You can still skip, even if it's, you have to, sometimes you have to skip special things this year.
Yeah.
Like typically, if I was off or I had the evening off, like the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, you would go shopping with your mom, which you didn't really do this year.
Yeah. We just,
you'd go out to eat and you
didn't
picked
up our new foster kittens.
You didn't do any of that stuff. That's special things that you just have to skip this year.
Yeah.
And we would go to Chris Kindle Market and, oh, we should have, is it virtual yet?
You can order things online, but then that Demon Tap place in Avondale is doing, they're doing a version of it, so we're gonna go check that out.
But you can't, like right now you can't like log on to the
you can buy things.
Oh, that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, what else would there be?
I don't know.
Some type of experience.
Yeah,
I mean, that one is really like, that is all about being crammed into a small place,
yeah,
space with people,
yeah,
and like being really close talking to, like you sort of sit at communal tables and you end up like inadvertently having to talk to people around.
Yeah, we end up usually having to talk to strangers. Yeah, and then we
avoid it as much as we can, and then sometimes you just can't help it. But like, you know, one thing is that we've been making our, looking at like what we normally do around Christmas and what can we still do, and or what versions of things, you know, mm-hmm. like, okay, we normally do this, what's the 2020 version of this? But we're going to go ice skating and the rink, you know, I guess like, so the skating ribbon is open downtown, like the Millennium Park traditional rink is closed. And I guess maybe that's because people are clumped together more. Yeah. Like a ribbon, it's more like a, you're, everyone's going the same direction, like a track. So
yeah,
that would be,
I think so,
safer. And we've always, that's, it's been open for a few years and it looks really cool, but we've never been able to go because every time we've gone, the line has been crazy long and it's really cold outside. And so this year it's reservation only.
Yeah,
so
perfect.
Silver 2020 silver lining that we can go have a reservation, not have to wait in a super long line. So we're gonna do that.
Wonder why they don't do that all the time.
Maybe they will now.
You know, obviously they have to limit the capacity probably.
Yeah.
But still do reservations, just, you know, up the capacity.
I mean, I think the annoying thing with reservations is that people don't show up for them.
Yeah, that's true.
Last time we went to Morton Arboretum, they have like a lights show that you just drive. Normally you walk through, but you just stay in your car. You just drive through it. And I thought like it might be hard, but it was really,
yeah, that was fun.
Easy and fun. And it made me appreciate the trees more.
It was when you're out there running and you hate everything about Morton.
Yeah.
It made me really want to go next year to walk through.
Yeah.
I mean, it was nice being able to drive through and just seeing it because the lights are amazing. And, mm-hmm. you know, you tune in to 88.5 and
it's choreographed
to the music and stuff. So it's really well done. And I kept on asking you at like 100 times, how do they do this? How do they do this? And you're like, computer dummy. But it's like
elves.
It's like, so it's like perfect because we haven't done that.
Yeah,
that hasn't been on our Christmas list.
Yeah,
but I feel like we need to add it.
Yeah,
for next year.
We got tickets.
Like
tickets were, it was hard to get tickets, and we like right as soon as they were released.
Yeah.
It was like a lot of pressure.
Yeah,
it's really stressful to get them. Like everything that is in demand goes so fast now. We have Zoo Light tickets for Friday. And I wanted to like go to a drive-in and see a Christmas movie, and those are all, we didn't get in on that soon enough. Like those were all sold out when I checked. But yeah, so we'll do Christmassy things. We got our Christmas tree.
we normally do
that. Like everybody else?
Yeah, it was... this is the time when people get Christmas trees. A lot of people get Christmas trees after Thanksgiving so they can enjoy it for the month. But
I always feel like we're on the early end and like everybody has their tree now and there's lots of lights outside. And
just when we were driving around on Black Friday, we saw a lot of Christmas trees on top of cars. And I don't think I've, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's been the same, but I'm just projecting that there's more, but it seemed like there were a lot more cars driving around with Christmas trees on top of their cars
yeah.
this year.
Yeah, it feels like that.
Yeah. And normally we go, we would just go to Whole Foods.
We would, our tradition would be to go to Whole Foods on the day after, on Black Friday, because they would have like $10 off trees, and mm-hmm. their trees are already a good price. And, you know, the trees are from some small grower in Wisconsin.
Jeff Bezos farm in Wisconsin.
Ye old Jeff Bezos farm. So I always, you know, they cut off the end for you. They put it on top of your car. It's
yeah.
really easy.
It's been great.
Very
nice.
Good trees.
Yeah.
But I thought like, okay, this year, let's not give any more money to Jeff Bezos. Mm-hmm. Let's go to, there's like a couple of local garden centers in our area. Mm-hmm. And there's a big one that everybody goes to. And then there's like a newer, smaller one. And I'm like, let's go to the newer, smaller one. So we went and it was like, there was a lot of people there, like a lot of kids running around and like rude, like a lot of like rude women walking around,
yeah.
taking up a lot of space, both like
being loud.
Them and being mm-hmm. loud.
No, and no,
it was like stressful. I don't know. It was just not comfortable. And
not keeping socially distant.
Yeah.
They would walk up right again, like
yeah.
next to you.
Yeah.
When I'm trying my best to avoid everybody in kind of a contained area.
Yeah. It wasn't a great experience. And then we started like looking and like the trees were like literally twice as much mm-hmm. as anything else available. So as much as I wanted to support them, it was just like, none of it was selling me
yeah.
on it.
And I'll pay extra to support a small business.
Yeah.
For sure.
But like compared to the other small business in our neighborhood that sells this kind of thing,
yeah.
they're like garland and wreaths and stuff are three times
yeah.
as much. So yeah, it was kind of nuts. So we were like, okay, let's get out of here. This is not
unpleasant.
Yeah. So I'm like, let's just go back to Whole Foods. So we went back to Whole Foods, and they were like, oh, we're sorry, our saw broke. We've sold so many trees today, our saw broke.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, can we saw the bottom of this by hand? And I'm like, no, that's going to take us forever. It's going to be a huge pain. I'm like, let's just go back to a traditional tree lot in the grocery store parking lot at Jewel.
When we were discussing the sawing, I was like, we have a saw. We can do this. We watch tons of Hallmark movies when they go to the tree farm with this tiniest little saw
yeah.
to saw off the biggest tree. I'm like, we can saw off this. We can do it. And you lacked confidence in my sawing ability.
Oh, not yours. Both of them. I'm like, we're going to be like, and it's going to be uneven. And we're probably going to kill the tree doing it. We just need the chainsaw. Just mm-hmm. so he did it. So we just went back to the Jewel parking lot. We got a great tree. The guy
yeah.
it was really easy. And the guy was really nice. And yeah, what it's done.
That's how we did it when I was a kid. We'd always kind of go to the tree farm lot
yeah,
that was in
not
a parking
farm,
lot.
Like the lot.
Yeah, the
yeah.
lot that was in some parking
yeah.
lot of the grocery store.
I never grew up, we never like went to the tree farm and cut down our own tree.
I think we should do that next year though.
Well, we heard mixed, I mean, obviously next year, hopefully we won't be worried about distancing as much, but like mm-hmm. we had one friend go and have a lovely experience and we had one friend go and have a horrible experience. So.
Oh, who had a horrible experience?
Well, like someone who went who tried multiple attempts to go and it was like super
right.
crowded
yeah.
no one was wearing a mask
yeah.
and I feel like the tree farm attracts the non-mask crowd. So
from what I remember, I was always kind of creeped out by the like the people that work there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if this is just how they're project, you know, they're projected as
the tree
creepers.
Lot
yeah the tree
it's
lot
a bit of a,
people.
It's a bit of a carny vibe,
right? Like they sit in that little hut, you know, with
yeah.
their glove, with their fingerless gloves,
or like they live in a trailer at the lot.
So we walked up, and so I'm a little bit tentative. Then, of course, then we see like the two people that are like arguing with this kid. This kid, you know, he's like 20 something.
Yeah,
he's like, you know, he's holding up the tree, and they're like, "Okay, I'll give you 45 for it." And I'm like, "What? Is this how we're supposed to do? We were supposed to bargain for our Christmas tree?
They were such jerks. And when I've had a few encounters recently with, I mean, it's just, it seems cliche to say it, but Karen type people, they're just abundant and they are completely, they have no self-awareness that that's what they, that that's not cool anymore. Being that way has been canceled, and that they still behave this way. Like they're completely unaware that how they look.
I felt bad for this kid. Maybe I'm the schmuck who overpays for a Christmas tree because I'm not going to haggle with the kid working at the tree lot. Maybe that's how you're supposed to do it. I just don't want to.
Yeah.
I just want to pick out a nice tree.
Yeah.
Look at the price. Pay that price. Tip the person for putting it up. And
he seemed so appreciative that we were just had like normal human decency towards him.
Yeah. Yeah. All of my reservations about going to the lot were immediately discarded or whatever because, the kid couldn't have been nicer. The experience was fine. And, yeah, we got a good-looking tree out of it.
And yesterday I went to the other garden center by us and bought like the other, like a wreath and garland and things that we needed. And there, when I just pulled up, I was like, oh, this is gonna, it ended up being fine, but I'm like, this is gonna be awful. Cause it's just like everyone bought you, like they're shopping, getting their overpriced tree from that place. Mm-hmm. It was just so Kristen Wiig and Jason Sudeikis from like the assholes from from the Saturday Night Live sketch. Like just, we're not supposed to be around people. Can we like avoid all of these people easier?
Yeah. Kristen Wiig going to be hosting the Christmas episode of Saturday Night
Live. I know. You were telling me like how excited you were about who was going to be like hosting in the musical guest. I'm like, why do we still get excited about Saturday Night Live? It's terrible. Why do we still get excited about it? Why do we still watch it? And why do we still get excited about it? It's never good.
Yeah. That is a great question. I do believe that having Kristen Wiig host it, as somebody who, she's worked on the show, she knows the ins and outs.
Like John Mulaney is a better
show. His episode, I thought was, good. Like the sketches, most of the sketches were good.
Yeah.
I mean, Weekend Update's a lost cause. I thought the sketches with John Mulaney were good, and I think with Kristen Wiig, they'll be the same. Originally, I was excited about Bruce Springsteen because I thought he was going to do I knew that he was going to do the December 12th, and I thought that may have been the last show. I'm like, oh, well, do you think he'll sing Santa Claus is Coming to Town?
He still might.
You think so? I think maybe he's going to sing something of his new song. His two new songs.
Maybe he'll do it for the second song.
For the third song.
Can they ice skate this year? Is that open, or would it be open just to them?
Yeah, probably.
Because I could see him like singing, like them ice skating at the end. Again, nothing will ever be as good as we want it to be. So,
yeah.
Does anybody who works for Saturday Night Live listen to this show?
I know Clarence Clemons is not around, so they have to try to figure out a way to redo that.
Keenan could play Clarence. Oh.
Yes.
If only they'd listen to us.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. So, yeah, we'll see if he sings Santa Claus's Coming
to Town. Oh, wouldn't that be so good?
With Keenan doing, the big man's
part. They recreate
it.
The sax player guy, the band leader is like a set, like plays the saxophone, right?
Yeah.
Like he could be playing the saxophone, but Keenan could play Clarence.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to this.
This
happen. It's just going to be his two new songs. I will say though, something.
We'll fast forward through them.
Something very odd has happened this holiday season, where we've been in the car. And you actually turned on, usually when you come in the passenger side and I turn on the car and the radio comes on, it's a Christmas station, you're out, turn it off or switch the station immediately. There's been a few times we've gotten into the car where you actually turn to the Christmas station to hear the songs.
Yes.
And there has been a time, there's been, I think, twice where you actually raised the volume up to
hear. There's all extenuating circumstances with these.
What are the extenuating circumstances?
Okay, so the only reason I put it on the Christmas station is because you were listening to,
I was listening to news radio.
Yeah, and I don't like the sound of news radio. Like, I don't like, there's like a tinniness to that I don't like.
Yeah.
There's something that triggers, it's like depressing that triggers me, like the sound of it.
Yeah.
I think it's boring, and it's all just like mattress commercials or something anyway. It's not like that
traffic
much content. I don't need traffic. I don't need, I don't need any of the information they're giving me. And I think, too, like, it reminds me of when I, like, was in high school, maybe, or even college, and, like, we lived, like an hour away from Chicago, and we would like be driving back. We would come into Chicago a lot, and we would be like driving back, and it would be like maybe kind of like late, and my mom would like be listening to that, and I would just be like so tired, and I just hate it. I don't know, like it is very like triggering of some kind of like bad experience mm-hmm. with it. Yeah, it was just, or you'd be listening to like Jeff Joniak, and I don't know, like some Bears radio things. I don't want to hear that either. So I don't want to hear the news or the sports. And so I would just put it on that because it was just safe. And then sometimes, there's no good music stations in Chicago. And then usually, like, when we're listening to the radio in the car, WBZ has some weird, like, wait, don't tell me or something on that I want to listen to. Or, like, on Chirp, it would be like a metal song or something that I don't want to listen to. So these are why all those things have to come into place, and I'll listen to the Christmas music. And then I would turn it up because last night I turned it up because you were singing along and it was like really low, but you were singing really loud. So it had to like balance it out. When else did I turn it up? Maybe because it was like I think I turned it up because there's like the Dean Martin one has funny. There's some songs that cause they play the same like 10 songs over and over again. Do. I would turn it up to hear the funny lines that we always like laugh about in the best things. But I want to, how many times have I turned it down? I know I've turned it down more than I've turned it up.
But this is a breakthrough where you actually tuned into.
But none of these reasons are because I like it. It's because I don't like something else.
And we've talked about this before. In the Dean Martin one, like a third of the way through, he does Santa with a weird, like, "Won't kind of, you guide mine?"
Like Eastern European accent,
which is class. So you turned it up for that part. You said that. Oh, you know what? We should. Sirius has like a 40 Christmas stations. We should listen to one
of these.
Nothing
can be as bad as the light. Let's check these out.
And then,
turns out they're just as bad as the light.
Yeah, we were listening. We were like sampling every station. I was like, this is the same songs that they play on the light. Stop bashing the light. And my last thing about Christmas songs, it was the I was listening to the Chuck Berry classic Run, Run, Rudolph. We all know that song. Run, run, Rudolph. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee.
Yeah. They would play that on Sirius on Christmas rock jams or something like that.
And on the light, they would play Michael Bublé's version of Run, Run, Rudolph.
Or if
Rudolph.
Ray Conniff had a version.
Call me dumb, but I guess I never really listened to the lyrics of Run, Run, Rudolph with Chuck Berry because I heard something that perked my interest. I was like, what? I have to go check the lyrics out of Run, Run, Rudolph.
You had done it. When you revealed this to me, you had done a lot of research on it. I think you had tweeted about it.
So the lyrics to Run, Run, Rudolph, out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind. Run, Run, Rudolph, Randolph ain't too far behind. Randolph. I've never heard Randolph.
So we're trying to figure out who Randolph is.
Yeah, who's Randolph? Do we know?
No. Like, somebody said that they're like, here's like a children's book, but it was written recently.
Yeah, Dennis Rodkin of the Cranes, because I tweeted it. I was like, who's Randolph?
You have, like, real journalists working on this for you.
And so he answered and saying, Randolph the Blue-Nosed Reindeer. And I was like, oh, all right.
And it's not Randolph. It's Randolph.
Yeah.
It's two A's.
Randolph. And so I was like, oh, yeah, mystery solved. Okay, we can put this to rest. But no, then he was like, but the book came out in 2017, so I don't think Chuck Berry was referring to Randolph in 1959 or whenever the song was written.
I don't know. Hallmark needs to stop making movies about music stores that are being, the people are being evicted from their music store and get down to the bottom. We need a HBO 8-part series about who is Randolph.
Hallmark movies and mysteries.
Yes,
this is a mystery. Randolph. Who is Randolph?
We'll is there like out. A Chuck Berry documentary or biography that might like clear this up? You need to go to the library and do some research.
I want to know who Randolph is. There was another, you know how I like when the DJs do their little bits.
What was a good one this week?
A good one this week was where he was just talking to a woman who was eating cookies. Not baking cookies, not making Christmas cookies, just eating cookies. And then he said, what kind? It's like chocolate chips. And she's like, so this woman was just eating chocolate chip cookies, listening to the Christmas station.
Did we potentially talk about this 2 weeks ago?
No, I think I.
I just mentioned it
to you after I heard it coming home from work.
You can't wait to get home to tell me like what you heard on the light, Randall cookies.
And then I was thinking, I don't want to give out any radio trade secrets. Those phone calls aren't live that they do in between the songs. They're taped. So I was like, how bad are the other calls that come in if they have to play?
Well, I think you know, as somebody who's Green's radio calls, that they could be really bad.
Yeah, I get a lot of calls at the radio station. Most of the calls that I get at the radio station are TV related. Yeah. They want to talk to Dean Richards or something like that. They don't know, they can't separate it or somehow that when they call WGN, this is the number that comes up. But my favorite is when like somebody calls and they want to know like why JAG isn't on. Why isn't JAG on right now? I don't know what you want me to do here. There's no place. I can't like forward your call to anyone. And a lot of times, like I feel bad for some of the older listeners that call that they don't have a computer and they want to know like what the temperature outside is. Yeah. So like I'll do my best to like look something up if I can. Like,
well, that's nice of you
to like answer them, because they just want an answer. But I was like, why isn't JAG on right now? I have no idea where to even begin.
Well, if I get in the car after you've been driving home listening to the light, it is turned up to like 10 too. You're really jamming out to it.
And I usually listen to the news on my way home Monday through Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
But then Friday, that's when
I
treat myself to the Christmas station after work.
This is really sad.
And then I really crank it up. Really crank it up. So then oftentimes you'll get in the car on a Saturday, like if you're driving to run somewhere or whatever, do an errand. Yeah, the Christmas station is cranked up to 11. That is how Andy Williams is meant to be heard. To 11.
I know you were asking about like Ray Conniff, like what his deal was, and I'm like, I don't know, but haven't you ever been to a thrift store and looked at records before? It's like 9 out of 10 records are Ray Conniff singers. And I said, nobody's ever listened to Ray Conniff since the only time that anybody ever listens to Ray Conniff by choice, they have like a record player that's built into like credenza.
But you know how, you know, like Frank Sinatra, everybody knows Frank Sinatra, and Bing Crosby, they've had careers and they also put out a Christmas record. But like Ray Conniff, was he a singer?
He just had this like group of folk singers, so it's like the Ray Conniff singers. It's like a group. Oh my gosh, this photo like is like Bob bowl cut haircut.
He's got a little poodle dog though.
He kind of has like
his
who's
hair.
The like mucho amor guy, what's his name?
Oh yeah,
he has like that those look. Vibes.
It looks like he's wearing a winter hat.
Now I'm like more interested in him.
But it's a really dark,
I thought he was more square than this.
Is it dark head of hair and a white beard, and then he's holding a little white poodle. He was also known as Jay Ray. I didn't know that.
What?
He died in 2002.
The movie we also need.
He was an American band leader and arranger, best known for his Ray Conniff singers during the 60s.
I think there's a, you know, isn't there a thing like if like adults that had like dinner parties in the 60s, this is just what I'm picturing, like that everybody had, there were like certain albums that everybody had, and that everybody had a Ray Conniff record.
He died in 2002 after falling and hitting his head on a sink.
This is my fear.
You have a fear of hitting your head on a sink?
No, that I hit my head and then I'm afraid that like I have a slow brain bleed. And I'm going to die and then, like, I'm not going to realize it.
There's a Ray Conniff Singers membership. Well, I'm sure people know who Ray Conniff is. I just thought they play him so much. When we were going to Morton, we heard two Ray Conniff songs, going out and coming back.
Yeah.
I think three Frank Sinatra songs, but two Ray Conniff songs.
Should we talk about some movies that we've watched?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Well, how about we talk about a couple of non-Christmas things that we enjoyed?
Okay.
Saved by the Bell.
Well, we just started it, but so far it's good. So we'll get back to you on this.
But we watched the first episode of Saved by the Bell.
I was like, it was coming out, so I loved, my brother really loved Saved by the Bell. I love Saved by the Bell and like grew up with it. And so I was excited for this. And there's some original cast members in it, but it's about like a new group of kids in high school at Bayside. And I listened to that Extra Hot Great podcast and they raved about it, and everything they said got me really excited to watch it. And you were like,
Yeah, I don't have the same nostalgia as you do for the show, but I was willing to watch.
And it's Tracy Wigfield who did 30 Rock.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's just watch one episode and see how it is. And it's funny.
Yeah, the first episode was really good. Mm-hmm. Really clever how they incorporated the old cast with the new cast.
Yeah.
Zach is a...
He's the governor of California.
But kind of an imbecile governor.
Yeah. He ran because, to get out of a parking ticket.
Right. And then they...
But it's perfect because his character... That's what would happen to his character, so...
And his kid, Mac...
Morris.
Mac Morris goes to Bayside. And then they incorporate some other kids from like the poor neighborhood.
Who have been bussed in.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just, yeah, it's smart. And yeah.
Jesse's the guidance counselor. Slater's the coach. And Zach and Kelly are married to each other. So we're in, and it's good. Like that where Kelly, you know, was always sort of like played sort of dumb, but she was always a little bit smarter than she played. Like there's subtle things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really good. Yeah.
It's well done. It's like, it's written, it's smart, but it also has like an appreciation for the original show.
It's on the Peacock Network.
Yeah.
Which everybody gets pretty much.
If you have Comcast, you get it.
Oh.
And then you can, but you can subscribe to it.
Yeah. We've watched one episode of The Queen's Gambit.
I wouldn't even like consider bringing that up because we watched it like weeks ago and we haven't been motivated to watch another episode. It was good, but it's just like a lot.
I wanted to watch it.
Yeah, but then you watch a bunch of episodes of Friends instead.
Well, that's what you do for the holidays.
Well, now we're like deep in like Christmas stuff, so it's hard to watch like an hour-long drama.
I liked chess. I was like, oh, we should just like, you know, like while we're sitting around the house, let's just play chess. You didn't seem interested in it.
No.
I had a dream the other night where I was shopping and I saw a chess set on sale, and I was afraid to buy it because I didn't want to be pigeonholed as someone who's like just into chess now because of the Queen's Gambit.
That was a specific dream.
Yeah.
But the show we really loved was How To with John Wilson. That's the best.
Yeah,
like, Queen's Gambit, whatever. Everyone's watching that and talking about it. Who cares about that? But this show, like, I don't hear anybody talking about it, and it's so good. So it's a guy who's a documentary filmmaker who lives in Queens, and he seems to have a camera with him all the time, capturing things. And which I know a lot of photographers do, because it's like you have to, how do you get that one great shot? Like you take a ton of other stuff.
Yeah.
So he's always filming things and catches really hilarious, poignant,
it's amazing how
in
well
New York.
Done it is. Yeah.
It's very New York specific, though.
For sure.
So each episode sort of starts with like a theme, and then it kind of branches off into tangents from that. But it's just 30, like I think there's six episodes, 30 minutes. I think the review you read to me that made me want to watch it was that it's similar to High Maintenance. And I think, I mean, even though it's more like a doc, I don't know how you would even describe it, more reality based than, but it still has a similar kind of vibe to it.
It just captures like regular New York, like High Maintenance did.
Yeah.
And
but there's like a great episode about scaffolding.
I think that's my favorite one.
The last episode is really sweet about his, like, it COVID is like the focus of the last episode, and it's really sweet about like his landlord that he's worried about because she's older.
They get together and watch Jeopardy together every night.
Yeah. He goes to the grocery store, and I think it's, he went to a lot of grocery stores and put all of this footage together, because it's like the line just goes on and everybody's carts are still like overflowing.
Yeah.
So we never did those first shops of like overreacting and thinking that we wouldn't be able to get anything. So except that what people did was go and be all close together with no masks on at a grocery store.
So well done. Cause some of the shots that does he come up with these shots and then creates an episode around what he has?
Yeah. I don't know.
Or does he have an idea and then looks at all the shots they have? Cause I don't know. Like, it just so,
and he's obviously like very meticulous with the notes that he takes, you see throughout. So you're like, how do you know what you have, or like are able to find it? And he has like, you don't know that much about him, but you know that he has a day job that is video related too. Just, but like, he's out to dinner with his friends and he's filming the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, you don't know if he's filming the whole thing, because, you know, they only use part of it. He could just say, like, hey, I need to shoot 10 minutes here or whatever, so we get this documented.
It's so funny and clever.
It's really sweet and funny, and it's on HBO.
I think it was on Friday. It's done. It just finished this past week, so you can watch every episode now. But I think it was on Friday nights on just regular HBO. So.
Yeah, How To with John Wilson. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I cannot walk. I saw there's a scaffolding on a building like on Glenwood this morning. I went running by, and I was like, I just cannot think about like the scaffolding industry that he shines a light on in this episode.
One too about like splitting checks, and it's a lot of footage that he's taken of people like figuring out the bill at the end of a meal.
Highly recommend it.
And how did he get permission from all? How do they get permission from these people?
Yeah, he takes a lot of unfavorable shots of people that are doing weird things.
I think the first episode he ends up at like MTV Spring Break in Florida.
and he got yelled at.
Yeah,
because he was in all the
footage
shots
of him in the that MTV feed, turning around and filming people.
So. Yeah, it's really funny, and you can zip right. Yeah, you can zip.
And
right
he lives in like a bad apartment. Like it feels. Yeah, everything about it feels really real.
Yeah.
About New York.
He has a cat. So recommend the one episode of Saved by the Bell that we watched.
Saved by the Bell seems promising, and watch John Wilson.
And and watch How To with John Wilson on HBO. And then watch, what Christmas movie should people watch?
So we watched Princess Switch 2. So you can go back into our archives and listen to our breakdown of the first Princess Switch. So again, you know, the Netflix ones are inferior, but we're like, okay, everybody's talking about Princess Switch 2. We want to know what people are making fun of. Mm-hmm. So we watched it. We watched the whole thing. And we didn't know what was going on most of the time.
I felt so dumb. I was like, I cannot keep up with all
the Vanessa
Hudgens.
Well, they give you a little animated recap of what happened in the first movie. I think like one thing is that it's confusing because she plays two roles, so that's confusing who is who. And then the names of the made up countries are confusing too.
And they brought in a third Vanessa Hudgens and
so she plays up like cousin Fiona, who's the best character in it, and she's really stretching now. And but yeah, like I didn't even remember the guy who was like the real princess's boyfriend, who was like her friend from Chicago. I have no memory of him. I mean, I guess I remember that he had like a daughter, and then she's married, the prince that she's married to is what's like Sam Palladino, who is in Nashville, and he sings
Gunner.
Like the Gunner from Nashville, and he sings the, I think it was the same in the first one too, where he sings an original Christmas song. So mm-hmm. like the closing credits are him singing, and I know that that actor is British, but he was like cool on Nashville. His teeth were always a little weird, so you could tell he was British. But he was cute on Nashville. Like I liked his music. There was like a coolness to him on Nashville that's completely devoid in the Princess Switch movies. Mm-hmm. He is such a dork.
Yeah.
He's the worst. Like, I don't want him being around at all. He's such a drip. And yeah, she's way better than him. We'll get to what my feelings about royal Christmas movies in a minute. But, I don't see the appeal of him as the prince at all. And the other guy is kind of cute.
Yeah,
I like
guy
him.
That has the bakery in Chicago.
Yeah. I think, you know, I love watching Bachelorette, but really it's just the vehicle that I want to listen to the podcasts later mm-hmm. that are breaking it down or like laughing about it. Or that's how I feel about Princess Switch. Like I want to just get through this so then I can read the hilarious pieces in like Vulture and AV Club and stuff like that about it breaking down. And they mentioned that like Chicago has become such a like Christmas movie punching bag. Like everyone is originally from Chicago and it's this like horrible place that you have to get away from.
The one that you watched last night or two nights ago with the Starlight one.
Yeah.
That started in Chicago.
Yeah, it was in Chicago. I even forgot because they just completely abandoned that it's
even
in Chicago.
The opening scene is the skyline.
You see Marina Towers or whatever.
Now, can we talk about the end of the Princess Switch 2 when you see who's in attendance at the wedding?
Oh, I think so. It's from the Christmas Prince, the like couple and their baby from the Christmas Prince.
So how does that happen? Because
so they were watching in the first Princess Switch movie, Chicago, Vanessa Hudgens and her baker friend were watching The Christmas Prince on Netflix before she goes to Montevideo or whatever.
Yeah, Montevideo. And I thought that was really clever in the first Princess Switch.
And now they're showing
at the wedding. I was like, how does this... What?
It's not meta, it's messy.
Yeah. That ruined the whole movie. I enjoyed it up until then.
But the best part is that they have, especially in the bedrooms, there's like 6 trees in every bedroom. And wherever they are, castle, or they have their own kind of style of the tree. So like Fiona has like pink trees and the princess, Vanessa Hudgens, has really traditional trees. And she's so... she's so like dowdy too. She has a very like Queen Elizabeth feel to her. Whatever, it is what it is. Now everybody's watching Christmas Chronicles, like the
Kurt Russell. No, I'm not gonna do it.
We realized that I added another thing I don't like, another kind of Christmas movie that I don't like. Christmas movies that involve Santa Claus.
What do you mean?
I don't like Christmas movies that have Santa Claus in them. I don't need that. You're trying to get me to watch some old one with Tom Cavanaugh and Ashley Williams. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll try. But then when you read the plot to me, it was like where he's really Santa, or he's Santa's son or something. I'm like,
Yeah, it's called Snow, and it was recommended to me by somebody from work whose opinion I respect on Christmas stuff. So I was like, oh, let's give it a try. But, yeah. And I like Ashley Williams, and I like TV's Ed.
Yeah, I know. But something about when Santa's involved, I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I get that.
It's like magical or whimsical or something.
Yeah. We're going to watch some... I don't know why. We have 50 Christmas things on the DVR. And I was like, let's look for something new. Like, everything on the DVR is new. But I wanted to see what was on Netflix, like was trending or whatever. And yeah, Christmas Chronicles was number one. I was like, no, I don't...
Yeah.
I'm not into that one.
So we watched Princess Switch, and then we watched Happiest Season. I feel like that's another one that's... in the zeitgeist this week.
Yeah.
So it was supposed to come out in theaters. So Clea DuVall wrote and directed it with one of the stars of the movie, too. One of the sisters. Yeah, so it was supposed to come out in theaters. So it's a step above. Like, Kristen Stewart is the star. Mary Steenburgen is in it. Victor Garber. Mackenzie Davis from Halt and Catch Fire. They shot it in Pittsburgh. Or Alison Brie is in it. Aubrey Plaza. Mm-hmm. It's all people... I was really excited about it. It's all people that I...
Sort of like. Because you don't like Alison Brie Aubrey Plaza.
Usually Aubrey Plaza plays sort of like someone who's like a combination of fake, ditzy, and mean. Mm-hmm. And then Alison Brie plays a person who's nice, but they really are sort of mean. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I realized that I love these people in these roles. Aubrey Plaza played like a smart, normal person. She didn't have like any kind of like wackiness to her or offness to her.
Yeah.
She just played like a straight... Not a straight role, but a
regular role for her. And
Just like acting like a normal person. Mm-hmm. And then Alison Brie played a really mean person, and she's perfect for that. She's really good at being mean. And so, like, Mackenzie Davis and Kristen Stewart are in a relationship. Like, Kristen Stewart's going to propose to Mackenzie Davis, and they're going to go home for Christmas with Mackenzie Davis's family, who is... Mary Steenburgen, Victor Garber, and then she has 2 sisters. And Kristen Stewart's parents had both died. Like, she doesn't really have family, so she doesn't like Christmas. And
But she has a best friend, played by Dan Levy. Great.
Yeah. And so they go home to this sort of fancy family, and the dad is running for mayor, and sort of their whole life has been about what people thought of them, appearances, and that they had to, like, fit into this certain mold. And sort of all of them have deviated from that in some way and sort of have these secrets, then those, you know, start to reveal themselves. But yeah, like, Kristen Stewart and Aubrey Plaza are great together. And
that was like my big issue. Kristen Stewart's girlfriend's really mean during this whole time.
Yeah.
And Aubrey Plaza comes along, and I was like, why dump this girl?
and they have like great chemistry
and
together.
Like, be with Aubrey Plaza. Like, Aubrey Plaza had a relationship with, you know, the girlfriend with Mackenzie Davis.
Like, they in high school.
So they have a lot of, you know, things in common, you know, Kristen Stewart and
they had both had to deal with this family. In the situation.
When Mackenzie Davis would do something, I was like, after like the 5th time she would do something horrible, I was like, just leave. Like, and she was going, I don't think she ever did leave.
But she was going to.
She, yeah, like, just be with Aubrey Plaza.
There's a joke that runs through it about Dan Levy tracks Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
And that's a lot about, like, tracking. We want to know how this works. We were like, it's come up multiple times. We're like, we have a question about something or somebody. And, like, we know someone who might be, like, secretly in a state they're not supposed to be in right now and, like, hiding it. And we have a theory about this so that they don't have to quarantine when they come back. And we're like, oh, I wish we could track them.
Yeah. But other than that, like, my problem with, like, oh, I wish she was with Aubrey Plaza.
That would be a weird movie then. In real life, maybe you'd want, if they were your real life friends, you might want that outcome. But for, like, a Christmas movie about a family, you know, one of these Christmas movies about families who come with secrets and it all kind of gets resolved.
Yeah.
And, like, that's how these movies go. So,
yeah.
So and you're, even though you have these, you know, you have, like, this gay couple, it's still within the context of, like, a traditional Christmas family movie.
And I felt bad for thinking that she should be with Aubrey Plaza, in that Mackenzie Davis is a horrible person because she comes from a toxic family. It's not, you know, it's not her fault entirely that she's like this.
Yeah. It's another pre-COVID movie, though, like on the rocks, where the people are very, like, white and privileged. It's just gonna be interesting to see how, like, that's just sort of been the standard for so long, like, how long that, or how many more of those we have, though. It's, and just the default.
When it was over, you asked me if I would have been happy to see that in the theater, and I think I would have been happy to see it in the theater.
I thought it was pretty good.
We've seen a lot of bad Christmas movies in the theater.
Yeah. No, I thought it was pretty good. You can watch it, what is it?
Hulu.
Yeah. So if you have Hulu, it's not like, we didn't have to pay, like, $20 to buy it or something. If you have Hulu, it's on Hulu.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's enjoyable.
And if you like The Family Stone or Home for the Holidays, like one of those movies, it's the same.
Yeah. Like kind a holiday with a dysfunctional family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Within that canon.
Yeah, this is another one we finished, because I feel like we watch a lot of movies that we never finish.
Well, then the other one we finished was Christmas House, which is the first Hallmark movie with a same-sex couple in it. And they're not the main characters, but they're adjacent to the main characters. So it's Treat Williams and Sharon Lawrence are the parents, and they reach out to their sons. And one of their sons is like he is very much like the This Is Us character, like the actor character on This Is Us. So he's an actor on, like, a cheesy network law show. Then, and that they want their sons to come home for one more time to make the Christmas house. They haven't done it in a few years. So, okay, the Christmas house, they bring in a big moving truck and movers and completely move everything out of the house. Maybe the bedrooms stay the same, but of the, like, common areas.
Yeah.
They don't just decorate around their furniture.
Yeah,
like every other person in the world.
Yeah.
They completely move everything out of their house.
Yeah.
And then fill it to the brim with Christmas junk.
Yeah. Preposterous.
So there's, like, nowhere to sit or anything. Like, I feel like there's, like, cooking. There's, like, shows on the Food Network where they, like, change out all the stuff that's, like, the props on the shelves to be, like, Christmassy. Or, like, that's what this is like. Like, everything is replaced by junk. It's like, it's a nutcracker, but it's a nutcracker you buy at Walgreens. Like, it's really bad Christmas stuff. Just full of it. Like, there's nowhere to sit down. You just walk in. You can barely walk through. It's like living in Butch McGuire's, if you know that from Chicago. Like, you can barely walk through. It's just full of Christmas stuff.
Do they open up the house as in it,
like an open house,
like a museum thing for, like, on Christmas Eve or whatever, people come in?
Yeah, and the outside is decorated like Christmas Vacation, that many lights.
I didn't understand why you're taking all your furniture out.
So they bring their sons in to help out, and then one of their sons is married to another man, and
they don't make a big deal out of it.
No, they're just, like, fine with it. They love they love their children. It's not a new thing. They've already, like, you know, obviously come out to them, and they're very inclusive and love them unconditionally. So,
and they're in the midst of trying to adopt a baby.
Well, this was my
your one criticism.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah,
I'm definitely thankful that Hallmark has taken this on and just gone for it.
Yeah,
you know, without worrying about their conservative base.
yeah
But they've made the, like, this character, and then there's another couple that I'll mention in another movie. They are white, attractive, and married, and like want children. Like they fit into like this certain mold.
Yeah.
So it makes them like more like accessible, I feel, which maybe that's what it takes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay, we can have this, but it has to be like, these are the rules. Anyway, so that, I mean, that movie wasn't, whatever, it was fine. It wasn't the greatest, but it's groundbreaking.
It was good to see. Was this the one that Treat Williams sings in? No, he sings in the Dolly Parton. He sings
yeah,
in
so
the
we
Dolly
started
Parton
watching
musical.
The Dolly Parton musical on Netflix, but we didn't finish it. It's a lot. I mean, it's there's goodness to it. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a lot. Like, it's, you know, like if I eat a donut and I feel sick, that's kind of mm-hmm. like what it is.
But you always finish the donut.
Then I'm like, why? I feel bad. Why did I eat that? It's just a lot of camp. I have a theory that Dolly's wasn't even there, like that they filmed her completely separate.
Right.
And I mean, obviously some is CGI because she's like an angel, but just even in the group scenes, she doesn't seem to be there.
No, they just kind of propped her in. We have this theory about Mavis Staples, you know, the singer Mavis Staples, who everybody loves. You know, she mm-hmm. appears on every record. We have this theory where the musicians, everybody else does all the work, and then they wheel Mavis Staples
and they give her like one line to sing,
and then she just, you know, she just belts out her songs, yeah. And then
it's not even her song, she just says it's one line that then they like repeat over and over again,
and then but she nails it on the
it's like
she goes,
get it together, and then just like over and over again.
And I feel that was how they kind of did this with Dolly,
but Dolly wrote all the songs, and Debbie Allen, it has a very Debbie Allen feel to it. It directed it and choreographed it, and Christine Bransky, who I love, is in it, and she just goes all out in her character.
We listened to the your dad had the soundtrack playing at Thanksgiving, yeah, Christmas yeah. on the Square soundtrack, mm-hmm. which was delightful.
Usually her Christmas movies are really sappy. They're like the Coat of Many Colors movies, and they're mm-hmm. they're too sappy. This one's too campy, but I'll watch camp yeah. over sap.
Yeah,
so
we'll watch this
we'll
one.
We'll finish it.
And we named one of our foster cats Dolly.
Yeah, Dolly and Darlene, Christmas singer names. Mm-hmm. So we need to finish that, and then we need to finish. We don't usually watch the royal ones. I said I, but you do you watch like the royal ones either?
I mean,
Lacey Chabert goes to Monteveria and meets a prince.
I could, but they're low on my list.
Yeah,
I have a little bit more tolerance for things.
I'd say there's too many options. Like, why waste my time on one I don't like, when I can watch a terrible one like Christmas by Starlight that I watched the whole thing on. So I feel like they kind of started the season on a high. Like the first couple I watched, I liked, and then the ones I've watched since. No, like we tried to watch. I was like, when you were like, let's watch something new, I'm like, oh, the Alicia Witt. I recorded the Alicia Witt one. We usually like the Alicia Witt. She owns a music store, and she's going to be evicted by a white city dude who works for somebody. Just like, hey, this is really tired. I mean, I know all the plots are recycled, but come on. This is just too basic.
That's why we have to watch Jingle Jangle, or whatever that one is that's on Netflix.
So, we were both just realized, like, we turned on the Christmas Tree Lane one, the Alicia Witt one, and just, like, a couple minutes into it, we're just looking at our phones.
I was like, we're not even paying attention to this. And we like Alicia Witt.
This is way too predictable. So I don't normally want to watch the royal ones, but a couple of people had watched one royal holiday and had mentioned it, and someone sent us a message saying, like, I know you don't like the royal ones, but this one is different. Mm-hmm. We love you as a listener and a fan, but this one is not different from any of the other ones.
I liked it.
The prince is played by a guy who is a regular on, I like the people who did like The Good Fight, The Good Wife, mm-hmm. Evil, Brain Dead, those shows. I really like those shows. And so this guy is an actor in all those shows. So it's like, oh, you know, that's promising. The thing I don't like about the royal ones is that the princes are always the worst. Mm-hmm. And he is the worst.
I bet you he doesn't end up the worst.
I don't know if I have what it takes to stick with it long enough for him to not be the worst.
I like this one. They were, the prince and queen were stranded in a small town, and they were saved by a young woman who was going to take them to their cozy inn.
So they, like, everyone's like, oh, this inn, the Kentbury Inn or whatever, so amazing. And they get there and, like, it's just like somebody's house. And they don't have, like, numbers on the doors. It seems, I would be really uncomfortable with this. Like, there's no amenities to any of it. Like, if
no,
you go
no
to, like,
service, no
an
bell,
inn, don't you want it to be like, bellman, oh, we have a spa and we mm-hmm. have this restaurant. And no, you're just staying in this weird guy's house.
And I'm
like the prince. I'm, like, turning my nose up at this.
And the actor that plays the girl's dad as a, you know, a famous TV character actor, you feel like he plays like the boss, the incompetent boss in various sitcoms.
He's the incompetent innkeeper in this one.
I was willing to stay with that one. You had enough.
Those princes are, he's yeah. just so mean, and he's such a snob.
He was, but I have a feeling that towards the end he turns over a new leaf.
Oh, if he's a jerk, why should he be given, like, I don't know. I'm like, don't give him this chance to, like, he's proven himself to be a horrible person and a jerk. Like, why are we giving him so much slack?
I think that's interesting that you're not a fan of the Royals, Hallmark movies or Christmas movies in general, because you do like the Royals.
Yeah, I do. Well, because, like, the royal family is sort of, like, they're interesting in the way that these mm-hmm. characters aren't.
Yeah.
And they're, like, they're horrible and abused and abuse each other. And, like, there's more layers to them mm-hmm. than just this person being stuck up.
Yeah.
And it kept acting like everybody would, like, recognize him and know who he was.
Yeah.
Could you point out any royal person other than, like, the immediate royal family and then, like, Fergie's daughters? Like, could you
no.
pick out anybody?
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Especially from some tiny little, from Galwick or whatever.
Yeah, Galwick. We watch like an hour of it. And that's like one of the things I hate is, like, why are we watching an hour and then we never finish it?
He's just so mean. It's just a snob.
I would rather just, like, plow through and at least get the satisfaction of
it. It's like watching
finishing
The Bachelorette
it.
And the villain wins.
We've watched like 100 Christmas movies. Like, we watched 35 minutes of like 100 Christmas movies. I go to bed and I'm like, I just wasted my time watching 4 Christmas movies for 20 minutes. I don't know what happens in any of them. Like, why?
So I stayed up and finished Christmas by Starlight the other night. And when we woke up the next morning, I was like, I stayed up and watched that whole stupid movie. So this one we had high hopes for because it's yeah. Paul Campbell, high on yeah. my list. Maybe my number one.
Yeah. Window Wonderland.
And then Kristen Sustad or something, who I also really like. She was in one of my favorite Hallmark movies of all time, 9 Lives of Christmas, mm-hmm. one that I watch every year. They wrote it. The
right.
two of
That's
them
right.
wrote
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but the problem is that, like, he plays the guy that's going to evict her parents from their cafe.
No, that's not his role.
And that's not who he is.
No.
He's not evil.
He's a lovable guy. That
like
you
recast
to be with.
Recast the guy who plays the fancy farmer in Cranberry Christmas. That guy looks evil. Even yeah. a Michael Rady could play this role.
Yeah,
better.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Paul Campbell is a pushover. No. No. And, like, the end is that, again, with the patriarchy, the end is that, oh, his white father hands him down the multi-billion-dollar whatever, million-dollar company, and he gets it. Like, that's what was at stake, that he may not be passed on to him. Great, all is well. Then it's a very far-fetched premise of that she has to pretend to be, it's like on Seinfeld with the butler, where they, like, have to be they're sentenced to be the butler. It's yeah. kind of like what this is like. So
yeah.
for him to even consider not tearing down, because they're going to, like, tear down the cafe to build. It's really ridiculous. Like, there's so much, like, tearing down of things to build malls in Chicago.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a really bad
Are
idea.
Are there any malls in Chicago?
No. So they, for him to even, like, consider not doing it, she agrees to be his lawyer for a week. And then to get him out of something, she agrees to host a fundraiser for this company that's trying to sue him. It's like Preservation Society thing. So it's her planning this fundraiser. And he has an assistant. And so at one point, she's like, I can't figure out a caterer. Like, she's having to put together this $1,000 a plate fundraiser. And she's struggling within a week. And they're going to host it at the cafe, of course. And where they've won best waffles in Chicago 13 years in a row. Waffles play a really big role in this movie. Like, they have this girl who's like performing like live music at the cafe, and she's like, I remember when I started playing here, I would get really nervous, but then I would think that there's waffles waiting for me after I finish this.
That's it. Well, that's good to know. I'm interested in now.
So
I love a good waffle.
She's like nervous about playing all together, and the assistant takes her to lunch to talk about it. And he's like, I've got someone I'm going to bring in to help with us. He'll be able to take care of all this. And it's his husband. So.
Oh, all right.
There you go. The gays to the rescue.
What often happens with these movies, too, that we don't finish... Or maybe I don't finish. Because I was interested in this one, but we'll watch some stuff down in our regular house room.
Our living room.
Our living room. And then...
In our Christmas house.
And then around 9 o'clock or so, I'm like, oh, we should go up to bed and finish this because we have our Christmas tree upstairs has a timer that goes off at 10:01.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, let's go up and watch... this upstairs so we can like enjoy an hour of watching stuff while the Christmas trees, the lights are on the Christmas tree. So we're like, oh yeah. So then we wrap up down here and then we go upstairs and then we play with the cats for like an hour and a half for 2 hours. And then it's like, it's 11 o'clock and we start the movie and invariably I start falling asleep and you're like, good night. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's 11. We wasted 2 hours playing with the cats. And now you want to start a brand new movie at 11 o'clock?
I'm going, and then I stupidly stay awake and watch the whole thing.
To start these at 9 and get it over by 10:30.
The other thing that's good about this one is that rescue dogs play a role in it too, because she has a rescue dog and then she's talking to somebody else about his dogs and he's like, they're all rescues too.
Huh. So. All right.
It's not terrible, but...
Yeah, the more you talk about it, the more you seem to like it.
But it's just not... Again, just like the thing being evicted...
Yeah.
Tiresome. Oh, the other one thing about this movie, and like she's adopted and she's like a family law attorney, and you were, and like they were like, it was like secretly about adoption, and you were like, how they're like making this about something else.
You know, we don't like, I don't like, just make it regular. Why are you?
It's like when it's a secret,
it's like
military
propaganda
one.
For adoption.
Yeah,
because then there's one for the USS. Something was,
well, that's just
on.
Blatant.
Well, yeah, that is
not hiding anything there.
Yeah, it's in the title. So we'll finish the dolly, and then what else do we have coming up?
I guess just more,
just regular
Hallmark.
I can't think of what.
I need to look and see what else is coming.
If you have any recommendations out. That aren't royals, Molly will poo-poo it.
Well, someone recommended Princess Switch too, and it was bad. And someone recommended When Real Christmas is bad. Maybe I'm just like, maybe don't recommend anything. Recommend at your own risk.
I think when they say it's good, they mean it's bad.
Maybe I need to finish One Real Christmas. Maybe it really comes together in the second hour.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's one that we'll try to, we'll do. And Dolly, we'll finish Dolly. Well, that's it for now. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind.